to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 148. I've got Will here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Will?
Pretty good.
So the weather has been kind of warm lately.
Yeah.
Yesterday, for the first time, it felt like summer is on its way.
Well, it's been like really warm, but also really windy. So it just like goes on and off from being cool and super hot.
Yeah. This week it got kind of hot. Today it cooled down a little bit, but yesterday it was hot and really, really windy. In fact, I went for a walk at lunch and Mom came and walked with me and we were walking along and there was this guy walking his dog and it looked like it was like a little tiny Scotty dog, maybe like less than 10 pounds. And we both thought like, if that wind is blowing any harder, he's going to be walking that dog like flying a kite. Like, I wanted to take a picture of the dog because the dog had like, it had kind of shaggy hair, but the wind was blown all back, like looked like it was in a wind tunnel. And I wanted to take a picture, but I don't know. It's weird taking pictures of other people's dogs.
Sounds
amazing.
But it was
really funny. And it was like blowing us, so I can't imagine a little tiny dog.
Yeah, I think it's weird seeing the people that like have the haircut where like they'll kind of have like longer hair like on top and kind of have like this long hair like in front and like, yeah, or, like blow it completely up in the wind.
Yeah, we both got haircuts recently.
Hmm.
I gotta say, in really windy weather, it's much better to have short hair because with us, it's like the wind can blow our hair and it's going to look just the same.
Well, whenever I have longer hair, it always kind of like, it's always just kind of like background anxiety. Like my hair is just getting messier and messier throughout the day.
Yeah. It's like if it gets too long, then it's like the wind blows and your hair feels like it's super puffy. Like our hair just puffs up. I think you have similar hair to mine. It's like a little bit wavy when it gets longer.
Yeah.
And then you just feel like you got like this big old mass of hair. But then when it's short, it's like it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's like it can't even get messed up.
I even feel like sometimes when I get a haircut, I feel like my head feels lighter. Like it's not weighed down with all that hair.
Kind of
feel like that?
Yeah, kind of. I really like the feeling of like after like a long day, like feeling like your hairspray, like you can still feel your hairspray in your hair.
Yeah.
And it's like, yay, it didn't get messed up throughout the day.
That's kind of funny. I don't use hairspray. I use some other goop stuff, but I know what you mean.
Have you ever gotten to the point where like your hair is so long, like it's kind of weird, like it touches your eyelashes, and or not your eyelashes, but like your eyebrows, and it gets super annoying?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, when I was younger, like I had longer hair, especially in front, and it would kind of hang down into my eyes. Because that was the 80s, and everybody had longer hair. I was like walking around like a person out of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few things have happened since last time. You were on the very last podcast, so not a ton of things have happened, but a few things have happened. One thing is we went and saw the movie Shazam.
Ooh, yes, we did.
You want to give us your impressions of Shazam?
It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
What
did you like about it?
I really liked the acting. Like, all the acting felt, like, real, and, like, I liked the writing. I think I really like it when, like, characters actually act their ages and aren't just, like, obviously written by, like, 40-year-olds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the flow conversations between, like, the main character, Billy Batson, and his, like, foster brother, Fred, like, they felt like actual real conversations.
Yeah, so setting the movie up without giving too many spoilers, because it's a relatively new movie, it just came out last weekend. You know, people, if you know anything about the character, so the character used to be called Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
It was a DC character named Captain Marvel. And then there was a Marvel character named Captain Marvel. And they got into a big copyright dispute. And now the DC character is just called Shazam.
I thought they got sued because he was too much like Superman.
Well, but DC owns Superman too. I think the whole history.
I think he was originally not owned by DC, but like Disney like picked up the rights or something. I don't know.
Well, DC picked... He became a DC superhero like a long time ago. And I think it might have started out with another comic book character, and then DC purchased that comic. And then he could be, I don't know, he could be Captain Marvel again, but then Marvel had a Captain Marvel, and it became confusing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
Anyway, Shazam. So I think most people, if you're familiar with the character at all, you know that like there's this young kid named Billy Batson, and he has the power to transform into this superhero that we'll call Shazam, that's like a full-grown, like, muscular adult superhero, but it's really Billy Batson, like, inside the superhero.
Apparently the old, like, black and white, like, Captain Marvel show is, like, one of the first superhero serials on the air for DC.
So he got transformed, and this isn't giving away too much because it's just the character. He gets transformed by a wizard into having the ability to turn into Shazam, a superhero with superpowers. But the one thing that was, I think what really helps the movie is there's some really interesting characters, because Billy Batson is, you know, he's kind of, he's not exactly an orphan, but he's looking for his parents. He doesn't know where his parents are, and he gets put in a foster home. And the foster home is really fun because it's like all of these foster kids, the foster parents are like really nice people that take in these other foster kids. And it's like all these different kids of all different ages. And they're just really funny.
Yeah, and I was a little worried about the foster home at first. Yeah. Because, like, a lot of times when there's, like, parents, like, don't really connect with, like, their, like, the teenage character, like, it always, like, that can, like, really not work for me sometimes, like, in movies like Bumblebee or whatever, where, like, the parents are just, like, trying to be cool and trying to, like, fit in with the teens, but they're failing, and it's just kind of painful to watch. But in this, actually, I actually thought they did a great job in this one.
Yeah, it was really good, and I liked, I don't know. I just liked that it, I mean, part of the overarching storyline for the character of Billy Batson, like his character development, is he has to kind of learn to adopt these other foster kids as his own family and kind of accept them as a family. Cause he's kind of like this angsty teenager, kind of a smart aleck, kind of a troubled kid. He's run away from like all of his other foster homes, but the interaction of the kids is really good. And then it becomes like really important to the superhero story too, which is really fun. And I don't want to give away too much, cause that's a really cool part of the movie. But it's good. And then the villain was pretty good.
Yeah. I liked all the scenes with the villains.
Yeah. Like, so Mark Strong, like who's an English actor. He plays a villain in a lot of movies. That's kind of like his trademark, is he plays villains, but he's this very kind of charismatic actor. I thought he did a really good job playing the villain.
Yeah. He had like, well, I just liked all the scenes with them. They're like really, really well-directed scenes.
Yeah.
Like the first scene in the movie is about the villain, and like, it makes it so that like, just from the start of the movie, like, you already know that it's going to be like a really good movie.
Yeah. So the villain has a backstory. Not only does he have a backstory, but he has a motive to like make Shazam his enemy.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And mostly though, what I liked about though is it was just really fun. I mean, it never lost sight of the fact that this is supposed to be a fun movie. You know, there's nothing really dark about it other than, I mean, the villain is very villainous, but
yeah. And his like, I think all the scenes of the villains are actually pretty dark, but they're like kind of
but
fun.
Not like dark, like a gritty, realistic type dark.
Yeah, just kind of in like a, I don't know, kind of in a fun way.
In a like boo hiss, evil villain type darkness.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I don't think it would be a good idea to bring little children to this movie, just because like some of the scenes of the villain can get kind of intense.
Yeah, there's some kind of like, not scary for like a teenager at all, but like scary for little kids. I noticed there were a lot of little kids in our theater, and I wondered like,
yeah,
if they were like hiding their face. Cause there was, I mean, there's like scary monsters basically.
I mean, there's a monster.
If I were to watch it when I was a really little kid, I think I might've been like, if I was, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, I might've been like, ooh, that was pretty scary.
I mean, there's no like blood or gore or anything, but there is a monster like bites off someone's head.
Yeah. I think there might be a little bit of blood.
Yeah.
But not like gore.
I mean, I find that stuff like awesome though.
It was
like, those are cool scenes.
Yeah. And like, you know, the villain throws someone out a window of a skyscraper and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. So what do you think? Do you think that's going to be a movie? Would you want to see the sequel?
Yes, I would. Well, apparently the sequel is going to be like, apparently the villain is going to be the main character in the sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like going to be like the villain and like, the evil caterpillar from the comics.
Yeah.
Which I have to admit,
a little bit of a spoiler, but
oh, sorry.
That's all right.
But I think it's,
I'm sure that will be probably when they start promoting the next movie, that'll be obvious. But
so like it was a great movie. It's not like up there with like movies like Ragnarok or Black Panther or anything, but I think it's my like favorite DC movie.
Yeah. You liked it better than Aquaman?
Better than Aquaman, I think better than Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I also appreciated that, like, it had actual humor in it, because, like, in movies like Justice League, they had the very, like, forced comic relief characters, like The Flash or Aquaman, and in Aquaman, like, they just had this very, like, quippy humor that was obviously kind of trying to rip off Marvel.
The wisecracking one-liner type things.
Yeah, that just didn't work that well. But in Shazam, they actually had like actually funny situations.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me vaguely of Megamind, kind of.
Yeah.
In some ways.
I don't think I've seen Megamind.
It's, I think I like it a lot more than other people do, but.
Yeah. And then something that was kind of funny. So now is a chance to promote your YouTube channel. You do have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And you've started to do movie reviews. So when we go see a movie, like when we saw Captain Marvel or Shazam.
I'm working on the Shazam review right now.
You're doing movie reviews on your YouTube channel?
Yeah. I've done one for Captain Marvel and one for Lego Movie 2 so far.
Yeah. And it's, I think you told me you don't actually like appear on the channel. You do voiceovers.
Yeah. And then I like edit in like footage of it and like music in the background.
Like movie clips and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they look pretty good. I've seen some of them. But one of the things that mom pointed out to me, I didn't know this, is that like you do, because you're doing voiceovers, you do a lot of audio editing, which obviously I do for the podcast too.
Well, yeah, there's been like, there's this one clip that was like 10 minutes long. I think I cut out like a minute and a half of just saying like, and like, and repeating sentences.
And that's what, like, I do a lot of just kind of cutting, like, sometimes we have to cough. So we'll like raise our hand, cough, and then I'll edit that out. Or, you know, if there's just a lot of, like a pause, it might not seem that weird if you were in the room with us, but if you're listening to a podcast and there's a big pause, it's really distracting because sometimes like, especially if I'm listening on my phone, I'm like, am I getting a call right now? Why is there no sound? So I usually try to eliminate like the really long pauses.
Oh, but really?
Mom showed me that, I think you told mom and then mom told me that sometimes when you do your audio editing, you have like funny things you insert as like bookmarks.
Yeah. Oh, really quickly. My YouTube channel is Willow Polis. That's spelled W-I-L-O and then a space and then P-O-L-I-S.
Willow is one word?
Yeah.
W-I-L-L-O?
Yeah, it used to be like...
I slurred that. W-I-L-L-O?
Just one L.
And then a space?
So it's one L of Willow, W-I-L-O, and then a space, and then Polis, P-O-L-I-S, like the word Polish, but without the H.
Uh-huh.
It used to be like, I was like 12 when I, or 13 when I made the account, and it was like Willopolis 121 or something, and I figured, you know, that probably isn't very... I guess, I don't know, marketable. And so then I changed it to like Will O Polis, but then I figured out that wouldn't be very easy to search. So now it's just Will O Polis.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so just that's another shameless plug of my YouTube channel.
So mom had you play for me this audio clip, which I will now play for our podcast. This is a placeholder that you do when you're doing the editing.
Yeah, because I take forever editing, so sometimes I don't get it finished all in one night. So I need to know like where I left off, and so I'll put this as like a bookmark, kind of. I just made this on Audacity.
Okay, just a second. Let me get to play on my phone.
You're editing, 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 stops here.
That's really funny. How many parts harmony is that?
It's three.
Three-part harmony?
I think it took me like 2 minutes.
Let's hear that one more time.
You're editing, 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 stops here.
I would say it's like a barbershop quartet, but there's only three of you.
Yeah, I've been messing around with that on Audacity. They usually end up like super off tune and off beat, but they're fun to make.
That's really funny. It's funny to hear like, you know, because you know, like in like pop songs and rock songs, they'll do multi-track on the vocals.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Like a lot of times it's kind of subtle, but it'll only be like one lead singer, but if you listen really carefully, you can tell they're like kind of harmonizing with themselves.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was listening to a Church's song the other day.
Yeah. So it's like, and sometimes it creates a more fuller sound, and you can also do harmonies where you can't, if it's just one person singing it, you can't do harmonies. But I think it's funny that you did multi-part harmonies.
Yeah, it's really fun to mess around with.
And then the other one that you sent me.
Oh, this
one. Does this one need an introduction?
I don't know. It's just me. I was like, what's a random song that I can imitate on Audacity? And I thought of Smash Mouth All-Star. Just a warning, this is terrible. Yeah. So sorry if it offends your ears.
Because you're just messing around. I think this, I still maintain that this song is more popular among kids today than it ever was when I was, when it was actually popular the first time.
Yeah, Shrek ruined
because
it.
Of Shrek.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
She's this hard to listen to.
Yeah.
Of an on her forehead.
Clearly, you're just messing around. Like, yeah, you weren't trying to make something that was super good.
I did have to edit the near near news so that way they would go on beat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like 5 other of those, but some of them are terrible, so you can't play them all.
That's funny. Well, if you ever do anything like that again, we can play it on the podcast.
Yeah.
What else is going on? In school. You've been doing a lot of testing.
Yeah, we had one test today. There were a couple of days where, like, sophomores would be out. So I think today I had, like, all classes that all had multiple grades in them. So, like, all 4 of my classes were slightly shortened, except for the 4th one, because that was after it. But we had a 5-hour writing EOC, which is just an end-of-course exam, where we basically all are put in a gym, kind of arranged next to each other, like, alphabetically. And we had this, like, really, really easy, like, EOC packet. Because they always, like, dumbed down the test, I guess, so that, like, they make their score look good or whatever. Pretty much everyone agreed that the test was, like, insultingly easy.
It was a test for what? It was your end-of-course test for what class?
It was just an English one. Like, yeah. All 9th graders are taking it. But
does everyone in the same, like, in your 9th grade class take the exact same test?
Yeah.
So it's not on different levels.
Yeah, well, it's like, I think it's every grade, I think it's all of 9th grade at once. I think in 2 different gyms, maybe just one.
Is it a state standardized test then?
It might be. I'm not completely sure. But just called an EOC, end of course exam. Mm-hmm. There was like a essay section that was literally just like, it was like an essay prompt for like elementary schoolers. It was like, studies show that most adults prefer weekends over work days. Write about your thoughts about work time over play time.
So you just had to show that you can write something?
Yeah.
Do you have to follow like the typical like introduction, 3 points, conclusion type format?
I guess not necessarily. I mean, like, in GT Humanities...
It's always a good idea to do that, though.
I remember my GT Humanities teacher saying like... that in there, they kind of let us format it however we want, but usually with tests, I usually try to go with the same, like, introduction, 3-body paragraphs, conclusion essay that's, like, really...
At the very least, you need a thesis, right? You need, like, a thesis and then a conclusion.
I mean, it's a really boring and repetitive format.
It is, but it's like, a really good thing to learn how to do, because if you can do it well, you can do so much better on tests than... It's not just about knowing the answer, it's about being able to communicate it.
Yeah. I mean, I've used, like, similar formats for, like, other stuff.
Yeah. So how long was this test?
5 hours. They thought that it would take us 5 hours to take this test.
Was it all in one day? Or was it spread over multiple days?
One day. I guess there was an essay section, but, like, there was, like, 63 questions, which is about the length of a normal test that they give us in school. Only those they only give us 40 minutes for.
Yeah.
Like, I remember in elementary school when you
If you have 5 hours, that means you have, like, 5 minutes per question?
Yeah, I remember in elementary school stressing out about, like, I think it started in, like, 3rd grade, being like, wow, we only have 4 hours to do a 40-question test, but now in high school we have, like, 50-question tests in, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I actually know someone who actually didn't finish it just because, like... Apparently, he, like, accidentally slept in between.
That's not good.
Which,
so, did you have breaks throughout the day?
No. It was all at once.
One long 5-hour session?
Yeah. And all the teachers told us to maybe bring jackets because it might be cold. But it was actually really hot, Jim.
Oh, no.
It wasn't too hot for me, but, like, standing in that same place for 5 hours in a place that I've never really sat down at
before. Standing or sitting?
Sitting, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if halfway... they made you stand, that would be horrible.
Halfway through, I kind of like...
People would be passing out.
Halfway through, I kind of like lost my sense of reality. Like, you know how like when you wake up and like you kind of forget where you are for a second? Mm-hmm. It was like that, but for like 30-minute periods.
Yeah.
It was weird. So we were able to like bring a book to get after we were done. So that was fine, but like it was still really dull.
Yeah, I bet it would be. The longest, you know what the longest test I've ever taken is?
Japanese test?
Nope. That's a fairly long test, but no.
I'm guessing SAT?
Nope.
ACT?
Nope. There's a big one.
TEST?
Has to do with my chosen career.
The LAW test.
Yeah. And it's called the bar exam. So when you become a lawyer, you not only have to go to law school for 3 years, but then you have to in whatever state you want to practice. So I took the Texas bar. Each state has a different bar exam. You become a member of the bar, it's called. So I'm a member of the Texas State Bar. And in Texas, there's a test that takes 3 days to take.
Oof.
So it's like, I think when I took it, it was like 2 8-hour days and then 1 4-hour day.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Do you get like lunch
breaks? And it's a lot of information. So you have to like memorize all this information about all different kinds of law. Even if you're never going to be like a trust and estates lawyer, you have to learn trust and estates law. I had to learn like oil and gas law because we're in Texas. And then you have to memorize all this stuff. And then you take the test and you just like try to put down as much of the information that you memorized as possible.
So wait, you get like lunch breaks, right?
Yeah, they give you breaks in the middle of the 2 8-hour days, I think.
Okay, I feel like that alone is enough for me to never want to go to that field of
jobs. It's enough for me to like never want to take the bar exam again. So if I move to another state, I might have to take the bar exam again.
Oof.
So I think I'll stay in Texas for a while. Sometimes, not always, sometimes you can go to another state and if you've practiced law long enough, they'll like admit you to the bar based on your experience. But yeah, it's a big, long test. And I remember like when I got there, it was funny because I had studied for the bar with someone I went to law school with. He and I both went to law school. We were both from Utah originally. We both went to Duke Law School. And then we both went to take the law exam, the bar exam. And we actually like, because it was like, we knew it was 3 days, we like checked into a hotel that was right in downtown Dallas near where where the exam was, and then we could study like at night together and then go take the exam. But we go into this huge room, and it's like this huge room that's like really wide. So it like it's gigantic and it's got all of these kind of tables set up, and it's got like it's probably got like hundreds, if not thousands, of tables in this giant room. And we go to sit down and we're both sitting at the same table. I thought that was really weird. Like of all the people in that room, because they assign you a seat, but we were both assigned to the same table, and I think it was because we were both from Utah, and they did it by like the your social security number, and our social security numbers, because we were close to the same age and both from the same area, were really close together.
So then you could figure out everyone's social security numbers.
So we were both sitting at two ends of the same table.
Yes, they could figure out where people live and their social security numbers.
Well, you couldn't know their exact social security number, but it was close enough that I thought that was weird. And then like they get in there and they give you this talk and they say, like there was this curtain at the back of the room and they said, you know, other than like when they give you breaks, like bathroom breaks or meal breaks, if you leave the room, you can't come back. So like if you leave the room and, then you're done with the test, you don't get to finish it. You don't get to be a lawyer. And also they tell you that like you only get 5 chances to pass the bar. And if you fail it 5 times, you can't take it again. And some people fail it like
5 times.
It's a little bit stressful because a lot of people who are taking the bar, they like already have a job. So they already have a job to be a lawyer. But if they fail the bar exam, then, you know, they have to think, well, am I going to get fired for my job because I didn't pass the bar exam? I can't become a lawyer.
Is that the type of test where like you either pass or you don't?
Yep.
Yeah, I think with
it's kind of pass fail.
I think with like statewide tests in Texas, there's like different sections of it. There's I think there's like a below average or whatever range. There's like a I guess like average or like succeeded or passed range, and there's like an advanced range. And let's give you like a little like kind of bar graph of like where you fell in between that.
Yeah. So that was a stressful. I mean, that was a long time ago now. That was 20 years ago almost. Yeah, this year it'll be 20 years ago that I took the bar exam. Longest test I ever took.
I remember last year.
Never wanted to take another test that long.
I remember last year when I was 8th grade, I took like one high school class. It was like algebra, I think. And I had because of that, I needed to take an EOC for that. This one I think was only 4 hours, but they overlapped the lunchtime with a test time. And I took way too long on my test. So I actually, after I was done with it, I only had 5 minutes left to eat.
That's stressful.
I remember thinking at the time that it was super hard, and then I remember my teacher telling me later that I missed a single question.
Yeah.
Which was pretty much everyone else's results. Like, there are people walking around saying that they got 100s on it.
Tests are a lot of fun. Let's do some news.
Tests are not a lot of fun.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right, I'm going to start with a story from the world of science. Science! This was one of the biggest stories in the news this week. Yesterday, scientists announced that they had taken a picture for the first time ever of a black hole.
Yeah, everyone was talking about this yesterday.
Yeah. So it was kind of a big deal. So scientists under a project called the Event Horizon Telescope announced that they have taken the first picture of a black hole. This is the head of the project, Shepard S. Doleman, said, "This is an extraordinary scientific feat accomplished by a team of more than 200 researchers." Michael Kramer, the director of the Max Planck Institute for Radio Astronomy, said that this is a moment in history. He said, "The history of science will be divided into the time before the image and the time after the image." That's pretty dramatic, right? So I learned a lot of things about this. I don't know that much about black holes. Do you know much about black holes?
Kind of.
I know a tiny, tiny little bit. I know they're like incredibly dense. And because they're so dense, their gravity will just suck in all the matter around it.
Oh, that's how it works. I've heard a lot of like really, really theoretical things about black holes.
Yeah, here's what this article says. And I'm reading an article from The Express, which is a British newspaper. They say black holes are powerful wells of gravity which have been around since shortly after the Big Bang or are created when stars collapse in on themselves. Black holes are incredibly hard to comprehend objects because they warp the time-space around them, unlike anything else in the universe. At the center of each black hole is a singularity or a point where the black hole's density is infinitely squeezed into an infinitely small amount of space. Around the black hole is the so-called event horizon, which is a point of no return past which escaping a black hole's gravity is impossible. So technically, they did not take a picture of a black hole.
Yeah, they took a picture of the
stuff. It's impossible to take a picture of a black hole because nothing can escape, including light can't escape the black hole. So what they actually did is they sort of took a picture of what's sort of like the shadow of the black hole, or like basically matter being ripped apart around the black hole. And how they did this is they linked up a whole bunch of radio telescopes. Seven of them, I think. No, eight radio telescopes from observatories around the globe and made one powerful telescope. I don't really get how you get a picture out of a radio telescope, but nevertheless, that's what they did. Everybody's seen this picture, and on the internet, people are saying it kind of looks like the Eye of Sauron. Or, like, there's all these different memes of different things people have made about it, like, kind of goofing on it. It's basically this blurry picture of this orange ring around a black dot. But the a professor, Derek Ward Thompson, from the University of Central Lancashire, is quoted as saying, "This is a truly remarkable result. Obtaining an image of a black hole is not as easy as snapping a picture from a photo of an ordinary camera. The power created by linking all these telescopes around the world is immense. It is the equivalent of being able to see an object on the surface of the moon that is only a few centimeters across. This particular black hole is 55 million light years away. So the light that is in the photo took 55 million years to reach the Earth." That's weird to think about. So they're actually seeing 55 million years into the past.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's at a galaxy. The galaxy is called Messier 87, and it is the black hole in the middle of the galaxy that's sucking everything else in the galaxy into it.
Yeah, that's how spiral galaxies are formed.
And it's gigantic. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
I feel like we've made a lot of astronomical discoveries in the past 2 years. Like, you got like the first like clear picture of Pluto in 2015. Now we have a picture of black hole. We've claimed to have discovered water on Mars like a million times.
Yeah. But this is, I think, probably the biggest astronomy story of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really interesting. I wish I knew a little bit more about it. I think I'm going to have to watch some like YouTube videos or something and learn more about black holes. I've always heard about them, and I sort of know. I imagine them being just this big swirly thing that you could suck you in and you'd die, like in outer space. But I don't really know that much about them. I mean, I think the biggest thing about this is they've always been like astrophysicists had always hypothesized about them, but no one had actually like seen one. They say, well, they have to exist because of all these rules of nature. And they'd sort of observed like things behaving as if they were being sucked into a black hole. But it's the first time we've ever observed one like directly.
So this like, I know black holes, I've heard some people call black holes theoretical, but is this like completely confirmed black holes?
Yeah, I mean, now it's like science. They've seen one. I mean, and yeah, it kind of looks like a blurry little ring, but they've got all the data to back it up. They've got all these different data points now. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard this got mentioned that yesterday, a few of my friends got taken to a person who like had an observatory. Who like, mm-hmm. Here's this person who apparently used to have like a job in like astronomical physics.
Uh-huh.
But now like apparently retired in 2016, and so now he just like does all this like telescope stuff like on his own.
Uh-huh.
And like he had this like giant telescope like in his like right outside his backyard that he showed us like a few like stars with.
Mm-hmm.
That's super cool. He showed us like a nebula.
Oh, that's cool. Did it look all fuzzy?
It was like, it looked like a faint cloud with like some stars in it.
That's pretty cool.
But he just told us a whole bunch about that stuff, and like, I think there was one person there who said that, like, he could only understand, like, half of what he was saying, but, like, that half of it sounded really cool.
Yeah.
But apparently he actually built telescopes himself, like, gigantic telescopes that had, like, TVs connected to them and stuff.
That's really cool.
He took us to the observatory, but the telescope ended up not working. Yeah. It was actually kind of scary because, like, we went there, and, like, he had this house near a pond, and we went there, and there were these two geese that came up from the back of the house and like kept on like making these noises and like ducking their heads and like approaching us. And at first we were like super scared and like we were gonna die. Yeah,
geese can be kind of scary.
It turns out they're actually domesticated geese. They're actually his pets.
Uh-huh.
Because he was just telling them like, go play with the dogs.
That's funny.
He said one of them was called Thanksgiving because that's what's gonna be in a few months.
I'm sure that was probably a joke, right?
I hope.
Yeah. Normally people don't eat their pets, but who knows? Maybe he's got a funny sense of humor.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a very funny sense of humor.
Not funny for the goose, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So you want to give us, tell us about your news story?
Okay. This is also a great scientific discovery. So there's a man who is house sitting at a house when he heard some strange noises from his bathroom. And he like approached the bathroom and heard that there's someone in that bathroom. And so he called 911.
So he figured what? What did he figure?
He figured that was a home invader.
Pretty scary.
Yeah, so he called 911 and was like, there's a home invader that's in my bathroom and he won't come out. And the police like came in and said like, get out of that bathroom. And it didn't come out. And they like drew their guns and like busted open the door. And they found a Roomba.
That's really funny. There was a robot vacuum in the bathroom.
Yeah, and it says, like, the police are, like, still joking about it today. There's one person who said, in 13 years, this is my first robotic burglar. Or no. In 13 years, this is my first Roomba burglar, said Danny DiPietro, a Washington County Sheriff's Office spokesman. Never had anything like this.
That's really funny. Because we haven't used our Roomba in a while, like in a few years actually, but when it's like going around the house, it can like bump into doors and like it sounds like someone's banging on the door.
Yeah.
So I could totally see that happening. It's weird that it was in the bathroom. Like, why was it in the bathroom? Why did it just start moving all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Maybe they had it on a schedule where it like comes out every night and usually they leave the bathroom door open. I don't know.
I want to know how it got in there.
I don't know.
Can you? So this was basically like Psycho, but in reverse, where like they're approaching the bathroom instead. Can you imagine if like the scene from Psycho happened with a Roomba? Because that could totally happen.
Yeah.
I do think it's kind of cool how like we're at a point where you can just like normally have robots in our houses, like Roombas or like AI, like Alexa or whatever.
Yeah. I was at work today. I got a notification on my phone. Do you ever get those notifications? It's like, you know, Wi-Fi network available. Do you want to connect?
Yeah.
I got one that was saying Wi-Fi network available. Do you want to connect? And it was like to a refrigerator. I was like, yeah, I want to connect to a refrigerator. I just thought that was funny.
You can just like go online and find like the thousands of different like versions of ice like, to pour.
Yeah. I could find out if there's milk in the refrigerator. I don't know. Like, why would I want to connect to a fridge's Wi-Fi?
I remember one time I was on an airport and there were all these free Wi-Fis that were like having conversations with each other with their name.
Oh, really?
Like, it was like, hey, how are you? And there'd be like another Wi-Fi and they'd be like, oh, good. How are you? It was like these like dozens of different Wi-Fi.
That's really weird. So, yeah. Sometimes people set their Wi-Fi networks to like funny, goofy things.
But like they kept on responding to each other and like having conversations. It was so weird.
That is weird. All right, I have one more story here. This story is about the most awesome job I've ever heard of. The best job ever. Do you want to guess what the best job ever is?
Being an employment lawyer.
No, it's not that.
Oh.
It's not a bad job, but it's not the best job ever. If you had to think about like what is the most amazing job that I could ever convince someone to pay me for?
No job, am I right?
Nope, that's not it.
Oh, I don't know. I give up.
I mean, when I was a kid, I used to think how cool it would be if you had a job where they just paid you to like play video games, like video game tester. Mm. That'd be pretty cool. It's not that, but think along those lines. I remember there was one, I think we might have even talked about it in the podcast, where like Netflix had a job where your job was to like watch shows on Netflix like all day long and they'd pay you for it. That was in the news. This one's even better than that.
I'm not sure if I'd like watching Netflix like all day long.
I know, we talked kind about of fry that. My brain. And now I remember we did talk about it in the podcast and we were like, I don't know if I'd want to because you know, you probably don't get to pick what you watch. You'd have to watch whatever it is on there. And some stuff on Netflix is not very good.
Yeah, because it's kind of like a disposal for like...
If you only get to pick what you want to watch, that'd be better. But if you're forced to watch stuff, I don't know.
It can be a disposal for terrible movies sometimes.
But an easy job. This one is way better than that.
I give up.
This is a paid internship with the Wrigley Mars Company being a candy taster.
Hmm.
Is that not the most awesome job ever?
I don't know. I have opinions on that.
The candy maker Mars Wrigley is offering a paid internship for someone willing to taste test new candy flavors in Chicago. The candy maker, which offered a similar world's sweetest internship position last year, said this year's winning candidate will also be responsible for organizing public events and activities on behalf of the company. The 8 to 12 week Chicago-based internship, which the company says will be fully paid, carries duties including taste testing new candy flavors, creating personalized chewing gum flavor, visiting various Mars Wrigley facilities across the country, and documenting their experience with the company on social media. The benefits include a signing bonus of 1 year's worth of candy. It's like 1 year supply of candy. The company said an ideal candidate should be at least 21 years old and be someone who isn't afraid to ring every doorbell in a neighborhood on Halloween, be passionate about the city of Chicago, and prove they can keep a potted peppermint plant alive for at least 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Would you take that job? I would totally take that job. If nothing else, you can tell everyone about this awesome job you had.
I would not want to eat candy all the time, though, because I get sick of it.
You're not eating it all the time. You just have to taste test some stuff.
Oh, so just like occasionally.
And I think you're also doing like some social media stuff and talking to people about candy. How about like designing your own chewing gum flavor? What would you do if you had to design your own chewing gum flavor? What would you do?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Would you have it be a minty flavor, a fruity flavor, I don't know, or something else entirely.
I might make it one of those. Spicy flavor. I make it one of those flavors that, like, pretends to be, like, five different fruits at once when really it's just, like, one fruit.
Like fruit punch or something.
Yeah, like those layers gums. I really tropical just, like... Tropical fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that sounds like a pretty cool job. All right, let's do... Last week on the podcast, we did an Amazon game on the Amazon Echo. I wanted to do the game that we didn't get to play. It's called Wordmaster. Or the Amazing Wordmaster. And the way this game works, I'll get our Amazon Echo up and running here in a minute. But the way the game works is, like, you have to, she will say, the Amazon Echo will say a word, and then you have to come up with a word that starts with the last letter of that word, and you try to think of the longest word possible. And then it goes back to the Amazon Echo, and she starts a word that starts with your last letter. Does that make sense? So we'll go back and forth with the Amazon Echo. So we'll take turns. I'll go first and then you go. So it's like I go, Echo goes, you go, the Echo goes, I go. And we'll just see how long we can go. So you want to get the longest word possible. And if you panic, you can, like, tag me or I can tag you if I just cannot think of a word and you can.
That sounds fun.
Should we try it out?
Sure.
All right. Alexa, let's play the Amazing Wordmaster game.
You have Amazing Wordmaster game enabled. Do you want to open it?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to the Amazing Wordmaster, a game where we take turns saying words. Your word has to start with the last letter of my word, and vice versa. The longer the word, the higher the score. You can ask for the current score anytime by saying, what's the score? So, let's get started. My word is modulates. Modulates ends with S. Tell me the longest word you can think of that starts with S.
Supercilious.
Okay, you, 12, me, 9, you said supercilious. Supercilious ends with S. My word is songwriters. Songwriters ends with S. Tell me a word that starts with S.
Saxophones.
Okay, you, 22, me, 20, you said saxophones. Saxophones what? Ends with S. My word is seclusion. Seclusion ends with N. Tell me a word that starts with N.
Nightingale.
Okay, you said nightingale. Oh, nightingale ends with E. My word is established. Established ends with D. Tell me a word that starts with D.
Delightful.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Please say your word again.
Delightful.
Okay, you, 43, me, 40, you said delightful. Delightful ends with L. My word is lean. Lean ends with N. Tell me a word that starts with N.
Neanderthal.
Okay, you, 54, me, 44, you said Neanderthal. Neanderthal ends with L. My word is lumpish. Lumpish ends with H. Tell me a word that starts with H. Sorry, I didn't get that. My word is lumpish. Lumpish ends with H. Tell me a word that starts with H.
Tag me, tag me. Hippopotamus.
Looks like you said tactic. Sorry, but tactic does not start with H. Please try again.
Hippopotamus.
Tell me a word that starts with H.
Hippopotamus.
I panicked.
Okay, you said hippopotamus. Hippopotamus ends with S. My word is sheltered. Sheltered ends with D. Tell me a word that starts with D.
Dinosaurs.
Okay, you said dinosaurs. Dinosaurs ends with S. My word is sleigh. Sleigh ends with Y. Tell me a word that starts with Y.
Yugoslavia.
Nice.
Okay, you said Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia ends with A. My word is amateurism. Amateurism ends with M. Tell me a word that starts with M.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Looks like you said anti-disestablishmentarianism. Sorry, but anti-disestablishmentarianism does not start with M. Please try again. Tell me a word that starts with M. Tell me a word that starts with M.
Macromolecules.
Okay. You, 99. Nice. Me, 74. You said macromolecules. Macromolecules ends with S. My word is sorrier. Sorrier ends with R. Tell me a word that starts with R.
Reorganize.
Okay, you said reorganize. Reorganize ends with E. My word is edged. Edged ends with D. Tell me a word that starts with D.
Diplomacy?
Diplomacy.
Okay, yeah, you said diplomacy. Diplomacy ends with Y. My word is yesterday's. Yesterday's ends with S. Tell me a word that starts with S.
Snuffleupagus.
Okay, you, 131, no, me, 96. No. You said Snuffleupagus. Snuffleupagus ends with S. My word is squanders. Squanders ends with S. Tell me a word that starts with S.
Sacrilegious.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thanks.
Okay, you said sacrilegious. Sacrilegious ends with S. My word is startled. Startled ends with D. Tell me a word that starts with D.
Diode.
Sorry, I didn't get that. My word is startled. Startled ends with D. Tell me a word that starts with D.
Diode. It's not a very good one.
Okay, you, 150, dexterity. Me, 113. You said diamond. Diamond ends with D. My word is disappointment. Okay. Disappointment ends with T. Tell me a word that starts with T.
Terrible?
Okay, you, 158, me, 127, you said terrible, right. Terrible ends with E. My word is enwrap. Enwrap ends with P. Tell me a word that starts with P.
Photography.
That's a good one.
Okay, you, 169, me, 133, you said photography. Photography ends with Y. My word is yained. Yained ends with D. Tell me a word that starts with D.
Dexterity.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay, you, 178, me, 139. You said dexterity. Dexterity ends with Y. My word is yummiest. Yummiest ends with T. Tell me a word that starts with T.
Toilet paper.
Sorry, I didn't get that. My word is yummiest. Yummiest ends with T. Tell me a word that starts with T.
Toilet paper. I think that's two words, though.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Please say your word again.
Toilet paper.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Please say your word again.
Tremendously.
Okay, you said tremendously. Tremendously ends with Y. My word is Yale. Yale ends with E. Tell me a word that starts with E.
Elephant.
Okay, you, 198, me, 151, you said elephant, elephant ends with T. My word is telephonist. Telephonist ends with T. Tell me a word that starts with T.
Tortoises.
Sorry, I didn't get that. My word is telephonist. Telephonist ends with T. Tell me a word that starts with T.
Tortoises.
Okay, you, 207, me, 162.
Alexa,
you said tortoises.
Stop.
Okay, exiting. Congratulations. You won by 45 points. Your companion app shows the net score. Thanks for playing. If you had fun, please rate the skill on the Alexa companion app.
That's fun, but that's really hard.
That was pretty fun. I don't know how fun that was to listen to, but that was kind of fun. And yeah, we did well. It is, you kind of panic, don't you?
Yeah, I imagine it must be kind of frustrating to listen to.
I don't know. People are probably thinking of way better words than us.
Yeah.
Like screaming into their phone or whatever.
That's what I was thinking.
Especially when I couldn't think of anything good. I mean, you end up with, I can think of a word, but it's like really short, like dog.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun, though. All right, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right. Henry is going to join us for Treat Yourself. For Treat Yourself this week, Mom found these at the grocery store. She told me about them. I almost didn't believe her because they are so crazy. We have, they are limited edition flavors of Honey Bunches of Oats. You know the cereal Honey Bunches of Oats?
Yes.
Except these are crazy flavors. There's two flavors. One of them is chicken and waffle flavor.
Oh, no.
And one is maple bacon
donuts
flavor. Maple bacon donuts flavor. Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
I think Honey Bunches of Oats might be like my favorite non-sugary cereal. Oh, yeah. So I'm pretty excited for this, actually.
But I don't know. That's crazy that they taste like either chicken and waffles or maple bacon donuts.
Yeah, I do find that kind of weird. I am not looking forward to this.
It is really strange. Which one are you least looking forward to eating? Which one are you looking forward to eating the most?
Actually, I'm going to look forward to chicken and waffles, and maple bacon donuts just sounds bad.
Which one do you want to try first?
Bacon donuts.
Get them out of the way. All right. Yep. I'm going to pour a little sample of each into bowls for us. I'll pass it around and we can try it and then we'll come back on the podcast. All right. So let's describe this stuff. It's kind of like the Honey Bunches of Oats, which has like flakes and little clusters. But then in addition to that, it's got little round loops, kind of like a Fruit Loop, except they're brown with little pink spots on them.
Yeah.
But I guess those are supposed to be the maple bacon donuts.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. as a certified expertise in different types of cereal, I will say usually when cereals try to combine like trio-like little pieces with flakes, and usually it just ends up tasting weird.
But this is good.
This actually works really well. I was surprised by how much I love this.
Yeah, I like how the bacon isn't like, it's,
there's not
like
much
you
of a bacon
barely
flavor.
Taste the bacon. That's
not much
good.
Of a bacon flavor. Yeah, which is a good thing. Mm. What'd you guys think?
It was delicious. I really liked that.
You know, I'm going to be eating it for breakfast.
I actually think it's delicious also. Surprisingly delicious. It's really good.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Did any of you expect to like it?
No.
No. I expected to maybe like it.
Let's just hope that the chicken and waffles is at least as good.
Yeah, let's see how the chicken and waffles is. Let's do that one next.
I love Honey Bunches of Oats.
Okay, this one's going to be controversial. First, let me describe it. So like the other one, it's basically Honey Bunches of Oats. So you got the flakes, you got the clusters. And then on top of that, they've got two different things they add to it. They've got one piece that looks like a waffle, sort of like that crunchy cereal, but it's in the shape of a waffle. And then they've got other little shapes that look like chicken drumsticks.
I'm trying to think of like a cereal to compare the texture to. Because I know I've had cereals with that texture before. Maybe like
Pops?
Maybe like normal Captain Crunch.
So, based on the fact that you guys both finished yours.
I don't understand like how they can put chicken and milk and make it work, but I really like that.
Surprisingly good. It tastes like candy.
Did you both think it was delicious?
Yeah.
Not quite as good as the first one, but still really good.
Mm-hmm. Delicioso. All
right.
You're
going to
say it's gross.
Ew. Seriously?
That is so gross.
Here's the thing. If they would have left the chicken out, it would be delicious.
That's brought
down. The chicken
down.
Is disturbing.
Don't think of it as sweet. Think of it as just a normal snack. Don't think of it as cereal.
The chicken is disturbing because it actually tastes like chicken. Like, it doesn't taste like, I don't know, something else. It tastes like gross, kind of savory, spicy chicken.
But for one thing, it's kind of disguised by the waffle part. That's kind of syrupy.
The waffle
and for another thing, you're just wrong.
I don't know. I don't know how they put chicken and milk and still make it work, but like it just does really well.
And I actually like chicken and waffles, like having chicken on top of a waffle and putting syrup on it and butter. I actually like that.
Think of it as chicken and waffles and not cereal.
But in a breakfast cereal?
Don't think of it as cereal. Think of it as chicken and waffles and just ignore the milk. That's what you have to do.
I love both of these.
I mean, if I were being generous, I would say that it's meh, but the chicken is so wrong. It's just so wrong.
Maybe you're just so wrong.
Apparently you think I am because you think it's delicious.
Yeah, to me, like,
it is pretty delicious.
Should be wrong, but it isn't.
Yeah, just like the first one.
But we all really liked the first one. We all liked the bacon maple donuts.
Okay, I think we can all agree that the bacon maple is the best.
The bacon maple donuts were actually really good. Mm-hmm. So everyone can agree on that one, at least these three people at this table.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken and waffles, though, controversial. Maybe you can try it for yourself and see what you think.
I am still willing to get sponsored by Honey Bunches of Oats, though.
Is it a post cereal? What is it?
It's post, yeah.
Yeah, it's a post cereal. So post,
I like Great Grains more.
Yeah.
Just like normal.
Great Grains is also post, so we're good.
Oh. I think it's the like Honey Almond Crunch a great Honey Bunches of Oats. That's really good.
Yeah.
Although, so that.
Okay, continue.
Go ahead and say your thing.
Although nothing that's not a sweet cereal can beat banana grit grains. Mm, wait,
I don't know about that.
Wait.
I think it's grit grains? Banana nut crunch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, banana crunch.
It's similar to the Great Grains family of cereals, but I don't know if it's technically Great Grains. Is it? I don't know.
It is.
Kind of went to it's good, though. Slightly better than Great Grains.
Banana Nut Crunch is good. I like the Great Grains that has the raisins and nuts in it.
Yeah.
Dates, we're obviously raisins and nuts.
Cereal experts.
Yeah. We eat a lot of cereal in this house.
Yeah.
So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Henry, for jumping in and doing Treat Yourself with us. Thanks, Will, for being on the podcast with me tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us at TalkToDadPodcast.com, where you can stream and download all of our episodes. There's a couple of things you could do if you want to help us out. The first thing is you can tell a friend. If you know someone who's interested in a family-friendly podcast, you can tell them about our podcast. And then the second thing you can do is you can give us a 5-star review. If you rate us, subscribe to our podcast, that helps us in the rankings and might help more people be able to find the podcast. And so we appreciate all the people who have given us a 5-star review in the past. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for